Good evening. Today is November 14th, 2018. This is the Catoosa Fire District's Water Commission meeting, regularly scheduled meeting. It's 5:30. Commissioner Campbell and myself, Commissioner Hoppenstedt, are present, as is our office manager, Ms. Nash, and our superintendent, Mr. Wiseman. Do we have any public comment? I'd love to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I noticed on your agenda under old business, it says discuss and move to accept the employee handbook.
Yes.
I do want to recommend that the committee postpone the acceptance of the handbook. Although it's a great piece of work that's been put together, there's a lot of areas in it that are subjective, redundant, and actually put the district at financial risk because of the redundancy. And unless we're going to go through it page by page to make those corrections, I think if you accept this handbook, there'll be issues going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Should I ask where the redundancies are? Do you have them highlighted and identified? Are you going to be here for the entire meeting?
2 hours.
2 hours, okay. All right.
We'll come back
to that. Great. Any other public comment?
My name is Carol Zace. I live at 86 Putnam Avenue. Approximately 3 years ago, maybe two, I spoke at a meeting about how low the water weights I felt the water rates were, and I still believe this to be true. I am in agreement with a fair number of people in the district that believe the water rates are low. So, in my opinion, I feel you should be setting the new rates to cover the operational costs that you've been speaking about. They should be tiered so that the higher water users pay, and they could be any number of tiers. Water should be purchased like any other utility, and I came from a community where the lowest rate was $4 per thousand. That was the lowest tier. They had seven tiers, but the lowest was four. Our highest right now is $3. So in addition, they had a base quarterly rate of $20. So everybody paid $20 four times a year, and then they paid for the gallons usage. So I know you've been looking at other communities, but I just think that please do not hesitate to raise these rates. This is a time for you guys to make a bold leadership statement, and I just really want to encourage you from listening at the last meeting and the meeting before, you know, about nervous. It feels like you're nervous about doing this, and I just think it's way overdue, and that we should be funding the operational costs through our rates. So I am sorry that I am not able to stay tonight, but I appreciate the use of the microphone so that I can listen to the discussion later. I made arrangements so I could at least be here now to say what I need to say. But so thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Can I get this one?
Yes.
We're going over tonight the basic stuff we're going to be talking about that. And in looking through all the stuff we've been given in preparation for tonight, there is going to be a significant raise. In the end run, at the end of the day, it's going to be like taking money out of one hand pocket instead of the other because of the lowering of the taxes in the future. But we'll have our side of the ledger squared away. Okay? And I'm not afraid to do it all at once. I think you just go for it, but then I'm one of three.
You know, in
water districts and on the Cape of having that fire district tax piece that I think gets complicated. I really, truly believe that it's a utility and we need to get there. So I support you wholeheartedly and we'll be right there with you to help you however you need in pushing this. I mean, it's your decision. It doesn't even require a vote, but to help with the PR if you feel you're going to need that.
Just one more comment?
Yes.
I'm in my last year as a water commissioner. I'm trying to find someone that would like to, you know, have people sign names and put someone on the list. So keep that in mind, would you?
Okay.
And you're on record for your name and your address and all that stuff.
All right.
Now you've done it.
It was election night, so I sent notes in, so I wasn't there. I haven't seen the minutes yet, but I was bringing everybody. I got them all aware of it. So.
Thank you.
Adams Ace, 86 Putnam Avenue. I wholeheartedly endorse my wife as a water commissioner. I am a fire commissioner. I'm not doing it.
All right. That's awesome.
Okay. Thank you, Adam and Carol.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that I totally agree with you. You know, it is sort of like you're just sort of rearranging certain things. However, I do feel that the more we go towards fairness in terms of use, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But I think it'll shake out in the long run as being viewed as more fair. It may not be less money, really, for anybody.
It's only really going to be hard the first year because the taxes can't be adjusted until this has been in place for a year so they have the revenue to be able to say they can offset with the taxes. Okay. Oh, she does.
Great. Thank you very much. Cindy, do you have something else? Very good question, very good point, because they're still going to receive the benefits from the towers. And that's why the proposals that we've received so far only have 90% of the funds coming from water rates and the other 10% come from taxes. That 10% is in place to cover fire protection.
Right, and part of the study that was done, that we just had done, kind of separated all that, took the people who weren't and everything else, and this is how they got the percentages that they came to get to these figures that we have to reach.
And we're going to meter the
up. It is metered.
Yeah. And we're going to actually build them
in. It is. No. Oh, yeah. That's the town of Barnstable. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's right.
Probably a Bruins game on or something. 10 o'clock, I know. Late game.
Just go with this one. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second that.
How you doing?
Okay. All right. Done with public comment. Seeing no other public getting up. We do have a request from a Carol Wilgus, who's looking for a leak adjustment. And should she arrive late, I'd like to interrupt and give her the time to go ahead and present her situation to us, if that's okay with the other commissioners.
Yep.
I'm good.
All right.
If not, we can re-up it at the end of the night. She just didn't have time to be put on the agenda.
Okay.
So, I mean, it can just come up afterwards. Under.
Oh, is she not coming?
If she doesn't show up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll try to squeeze her in, and if not, we'll deal with it.
Sounds good.
the other business. So, minutes. Take a look at minutes. From our last meeting, October 24th. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
How's the new truck coming?
Haven't heard anything since I ordered it.
Some warrants, I would imagine. And we're still working on the same old warrants process.
Correct.
That we've been working on, working with forever, for years.
I just hope it lasts till May.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems odd that we're so excited to get things changed.
Well, yeah.
But it takes time.
It does, and in our fiber optic, people are lagging just a little bit, we'll say, and we're still not positive. We were told we're all hooked up, but there still might be a connection that has to be made someplace.
Okay.
So we're kind of waiting. After talking to him last week, he was supposed to be here this week. The week before, he was supposed to be here last week, so now I have to give him a call this week to find out when he's coming again.
Gotcha. GeoCorp charts. What is that?
Reported charts. It's charts at our pumping stations. The manual, the old fashioned
way
we still do with some of them just to make sure in case the backup system doesn't work.
So you had to upgrade those?
Yeah.
Yep.
You can actually still go in and look at it to see what the levels are when we're down there.
Just daily maintenance, regular yearly maintenance for the furnace, or?
No, that furnace didn't start this year. So I went down and blew it out a little bit, tried to start it, it wouldn't do it. We shut it off, called the gentleman to come fix it, and he came down and it started up. But he cleaned it while he was here.
Was it an old furnace?
Well, it's maybe 10 to 15 years old. It's been changed since I've been there.
Yeah.
I think the actual Comfort Man put it in. Tell you the truth.
The actual Comfort. I had the actual.
The actual one.
I had the actual Comfort Man at my house.
Did you?
Last week. Yeah, he was there a couple times.
He put my furnace in.
Yeah.
Not that we're advertising. Not that we're advertising for the Comfort Man.
Any other questions on warrants? Everybody good? Thank you. Water quality?
If you look inside your folder, we did do our MTBE finally. There in our BTEC, we call it, at the stations. And we're still, we're just testing there, a couple times a year now, and everything seems to be good. We're still on non-detects on everything.
Nice.
We did our secondaries along with doing
Mrs. Tromba's secondaries and everything. And we did it for the stations. Levels are a little up on iron and manganese, but I'll bring copies and send them around. They're a little, they're higher than the suggested limits on the well field in general. We have one station that's a little higher than the others. But it seems to be almost like a solid thing. I think it's 0.05 is the suggested limit out there, and secondary contaminant level suggested. And we have one at one point is 0.15 at station 4. So it's a little high coming up. That's total. I think it goes down to like a 0.9 at dissolved, which is taking all particles away. Some of it's getting picked up from maybe the walls and stuff like that. But between everything, I didn't get till this afternoon my revised report from Boston County Lab, because we had questions when we got it why there was iron high and non-detection one and it was some in the other, when we shouldn't have been, because it was dissolved at that point, which means when they do it dissolve, they filter the water so they can catch any particles going through. So I had no water in the raw, no metals in the raw water. Then they ran it through the filter, and all of a sudden I had them. So I called up the guy and said, that's not possible. How's that happening? And he said it was the method of the methodology that they were using. One picked it up a little different than the other, and it was a little more sensitive. So they did them all the same methodology, and they came back with new figures, and I just got them this afternoon. So I'm sending them over to Patrick. I already have actually sent them to him, told him they were there, they were coming. It was just the iron that they redid, not anything else. So the manganese is still there at the same levels. It's concerning. That's why we're doing the water quality right now. So we'll keep on that, looking at it, make sure everything. That explains a little bit of the dirty water that's out there and everything. It's going to happen, especially putting in the chlorine afterwards.
Should we look at what the cost would be to put treatment plants for iron and manganese?
That's part of the quality. They'll come out with some kind of action like that afterwards. Okay. At the same time,
I'd like to know what the cost of that is, because, and last time we discussed the stabilization fund, and that's the kind of thing that would be nice to have a stabilization fund
for. Yep.
Should we continue to have issues with that?
For the month of October, all our coliform came back fine. Our first set for November here, we did get a total coliform colony of one out of one of the tanks. It was right after that big storm that we had. So I don't know if anything got shooken up. You know, they do move a little during the storms, and if they had a particle or something, it could have come up. We retested the next day, and everything was negative. So we went right through as we were supposed to. Well, after we were notified, yeah. And I talked to the state, and we're fine right now. As long as we don't get another one within the month, we're not in any kind of trigger. It doesn't trigger anything. So we got testing coming up next week. As long as we're good through that, we'll be fine.
Was that the same tank that we had the hit off in the summer, one right after the cleaning?
That was West Street. Yeah. That we had done, yeah.
Same.
I think it was, yeah, when we drained it and filled it back up, yeah. Because we had to do the work inside.
Yeah.
Crestone's MTBB, looks like you're doing less and less testing materials there because you're not seeing the results.
Correct.
We're going to get to a point where we don't have to test for them.
Yeah, but we don't actually have to now. The only reason we do it is just because we had it happen in the past. We just want to make sure that it doesn't show up, a vein hit someplace, all of a sudden and pop in, because it can still travel. And it is done in VOCs once a year anyways. So, I mean, we would pick it up the once a year. We're just trying just in case. I think it's only $20 per sample. So it's not much money to keep the peace of mind going, because it has been something in the past. Yeah, it is gone now, yeah.
Right, are the tanks gone?
Yeah, they have. They did take them out. Yeah, that is going to be a pottery ceramic shop.
What is?
The old gas station.
Manny's.
Oh, yeah.
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 They're going to be.
I thought they were going to tear that down, but they didn't.
No, that's too nice of a building, they said. They're going to turn it in because
turn
it's
down the brick bakery.
Like that. They're going to turn it into a pottery making place.
It's kind of historic. It's kind of a cool building.
At least it was, it is, that's for sure.
You know.
That'd be like taking down what's Exit Realty, you know?
Right.
That was a gas station there at one time.
Yeah. And nothing but old people used to work there anyways. That's how historic it was.
Yeah.
I remember Uncle Joe used to go hang out there.
Zumi?
Yeah. Zumi and Uncle Joe.
Manny did, and then that was owned by Tony Hawk originally.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on that, Mark?
Anything else on water quality?
No. Superintendent's report, go right in.
Sure. Superintendent's report, October of 2017. We pumped 13,895,000 gallons of water. In October 2018, we pumped 13,868,000 gallons of water for a $27,000, gallons less than last year.
I demand a recount.
At that little bit, you should.
Pretty close.
It's pretty close, yeah.
You know?
It's pretty much dead even.
It's been wet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was last year, too, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It's good. You know, it's no more sprinkler systems out there doing anything and until we get nice and until we get cold. We didn't have any new services or any replacement services. We do have not much to really discuss, but Tower North, I haven't heard from them, but I've heard through the grapevine that they have kind of finished negotiations with T-Mobile. So T-Mobile will be moving over. But that's what I heard last week, that they were starting negotiations. I see an electric meter down there with T-Mobile written on it in the front, and I see some new building in the back and everything else, but I haven't seen anything go up yet. And it's kind of funny because I don't think T-Mobile's paid us in 2 months. So I'm kind of thinking that might be why. Mm-hmm. By rights, they should still be paying us.
Right.
So it might be due a letter to them just stating the fact that, you know, you're there still on our property and everything.
They going. Still have the cow there, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless I go over there and just yank the plug. I don't know if I can do that, but there's a way to do it.
Yeah, then you got to put all these people without cell service, yeah. Right? I
mean, so maybe just a reminder letter?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'd be a good idea.
I agree.
And maybe it ought to say something about the fact that they shouldn't be proceeding with any new cell install until they're paid.
Yeah.
In full.
I can give them Tower North a call.
Their arrears are paid up.
Stay current.
Stay current. Something to that effect. We do that.
That's a tough one, yeah.
I'll call my contact first, but sometimes it's
just. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
The last thing on my list right now is Mrs. Trump. We're still waiting for the report. Like I said, we were waiting for the revised edition to find out what was going on. But in the meantime, she has called DEP again and made a complaint. DEP talked to me. I sent them all the results. The woman from DEP has said that the levels aren't high enough for her to warrant anything that are going into her house.
Did she put that in writing?
She said she will go to the house with me. He lives in Marston's Mills, as a matter of fact. And said that, you know, that it seems to be something inside, even though they are, you know, at the levels they're at, they aren't anything that should be. There's people around that have higher levels than that don't have the problems that she does. It's something internally that has to be happening. And she's asked me to get a test done on her hot water to see how much higher the levels are in her hot water than in her cold water. So I have to go over there to talk to Mrs. Tromba. I didn't want to go over there because every time I talk to her, she gets pretty upset. So I didn't want to really upset her without going over there and having a little, telling her what I want to do and everything. Because her big thing is tell them I want the lien off my house. I want everything. You tell them they can't do that. Which, as you said before, I told him, I said, right now we're under the fact until we've figured this out, it'll stay on there. It's not hurting you in any way. I don't want it there. You tell them I want it off. And that's all she keeps saying back to me. So I will go over there and everything else. Like I said, I'm just trying to keep her as calm as possible just because of her illnesses and everything else.
I think at one time, because there's a lawyer involved, we talked about keeping anything we do in writing.
Yeah.
So if the woman from DEP, even though she lives in Marston's Mills and said it doesn't reach a level, if it's not in writing and she didn't say it.
Right.
And we need to keep a record of that stuff.
Yeah. I sent her the results that I had, and like I said, that they're now getting the results from the revised results were just sent out from her. I have to call Goman one more time at the Bonds County Lab to find out if he sent all the samples to him or just, actually I could probably call her and talk to her. It'd probably be easier to find out exactly what she got and what she didn't.
Okay.
And at the same time, I could make a suggestion to her that she'd send me an email or something I can print off and send out to our lawyer that they could send off to hers.
Okay.
So the results go to the woman at the EEP?
The results go, at first they were coming to me.
Yeah.
And any of this, I told them to send the state results or our stations to her because they were done on a state form. And I said, go ahead and just send them to her because I want them to count as we're doing our SOCs anyways. They're suggested that we do them once a year, but we don't have to. So I told her, I said, you know, we haven't done them in a couple of years, so let's do them anyways just to keep things going.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to hide anything at all.
Them anyway.
I said, but the other stuff we're doing specifically for the case at hand. So I said, don't put those on the state form. I told her I did the houses, and she said, could I have them results? And I said, yeah, I have no problem sending them to you. So I copied them and sent them to her, and then I got the change results the next day just about after talking to Goman about it. He said, that doesn't sound right. So he said he was going to send me an email explaining the difference between the two. Instead, he ran new samples. And he called me up this morning and said, I ran new samples for you and everything. He says, I think you'll like the results.
Okay.
So there are some where it picked up a little more iron, some that went down. So it's all done by the same methodology, though. I don't know which one it is. It's not an EPA method. It's I think it was called an E3111B method. So I'm not really sure what that is, but it's a method.
It's a method that the county uses.
Correct.
Throughout.
Other than that, I haven't heard much more. I got nothing from the electrician, like I said, just the bill. We're putting this stuff together here to see if there's anything that we can figure out. I did talk to the plumber that came over and had to replace the cartridge that was there. And one of the other things I want to do is take a picture of what kind of heating system it is, what the temperature's at, and the makeup, I mean the brand. I know the make is Triangle Tube Company, I think it's called. And I believe it's a tankless unit, because there's no tank anywhere. So this is the tough part about why is it getting dirty if it's a tankless unit. It's just coils that are being heated up. I don't know if there's a possibility that the baseboard heat is coming back into the hot water somehow. I don't think so, because it would be a less pressure that was coming in, I would think. I don't know enough about the project itself, right? So that's what we're sitting at. We're still on it, put it that way.
Next. So DEP's given us the verbal
notification
that the levels are not a problem in their mind.
Correct. That they're not, they can't warrant her saying that it's
a complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we want to get that in writing.
Yeah.
We had, Ms. Trauma had lawyers involved, as did we, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she has two lawyers, different ones, two different opinions, I think. But the one who has sent a letter to me and talked to me would be probably the one that we're dealing with, just because he's the one who actually has confronted us, not just called on the phone, mm-hmm. asking questions, even though he wasn't the one who reported us the first time.
So if we send our information to our lawyer, who does he send it to?
He would send it to the lawyer who contacted us by mail.
So that's the lawyer then.
Right.
So, and we're still not received any payment for water.
Correct.
And she says that she's not going to pay until we remove the lien.
She says she's not going to pay until we fix her problem.
And fix her problem.
Correct.
But we don't, all we know her problem is that the levels are...
She says that the water we're giving her is not worth the money that we charge, that she's not going to pay for the water we give her because it's undrinkable. Yes. She has, every once in a while, she feels her bathtub gets dirty, the water, when she... So sometimes she has a filter, and when she changes the filter, it's black and oily and disgusting. And I said, well, that's because it's doing its job. You know, it's filtering out the particles of manganese coming in and iron. So that's why it's doing that, it's choking it out. You go to change it, it's going to look disgusting. What's that?
Have you seen a filled up bathtub?
She sent pictures of it to me. She sent a letter, I believe, to our councilwoman also. Let's talk to her, because she's asked me about it. So she's gone all over the place asking people for assistance on it.
Well, I have sympathy for somebody who has discolored water, but it seems like we're doing all we can to try to figure out why.
And that's one of the things.
And that's all we can do, it seems to me. If it ends up being a non-water... related issue, so somebody needs to document that, and at that point I don't think it's our problem. We need to provide the water coming into the house that's clean, drinkable and clear. But once it gets through the house, into the house, I'm not sure whose responsibility it is. I mean, I think we're actually going above and beyond. to try to help, and it's too bad that, you know, she's fighting you is the right word, but she's not appreciating the extra effort you're making. She should welcome the state woman, I would think, as a third party that is also trying to help her But I know you said she's also sensitive about people coming in the house. So how is that going to work? I mean, at least she knows you.
I think if I went with her over there, that it would be fine. I don't really think she's... The woman at DEP said that we've gone over and above. She says, you're doing more than anybody else would have done. She says, I applaud you guys on it because it's ridiculous. What you guys have done, people would have stopped a long time ago. She said, "Not you're doing more than anybody I've ever talked to," she said about it.
I think that is the exciting.
Yeah. So I think that she would go over there, and if she wants to go in and visit and look around a little, I think that she could talk to her. I'm not sure if it would take even just a phone call. Or a letter, or what? But I think that it's gonna have to happen at one point. And she's not so much; it's the person across the street that doesn't want anybody in their house, or that we were trying to get in to do a sample on at the time. She doesn't really mind people being there. She just wants to make sure that somebody's there with her, or that somebody she trusts is there.
Okay. So. Just to recap a little bit, all the samples around her are coming back with less iron and manganese than she has in her house.
Correct.
And the DEP is not concerned about the level that's in her house, and they're willing to go there in an official capacity as a third party.
That's what she told me, yes.
So we want to get that to happen. Yeah, we want to make that happen. The only other thing we could do for her would be to say, we'll run a new pipe in. We'll run a new service in.
Half of it I've done.
I think you've done that, have you?
I've ran half of it.
The test at the meter. Are you doing tests at the meter?
Yeah, even the test at the meter is a little higher than the neighbors. But not as high that's in their house. That's after the meter.
Yeah. So it's getting into her house, and it's precipitating.
Before the meter, excuse me, I should say before the filter's higher. After the filter, she goes down to levels that are below the suggested limit. She goes from like a point,
right.
Like a point. Just say it's a 0.9 that's at her house. She goes to a 0.02.
That's her filter.
And her filter's doing its job. It's taking it out.
But then her filter gets clogged.
If she has that much that she doesn't like the filters there, there are other types of filtered systems that she could put in. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it almost sounds like this would be something that she would be more comfortable with, but it's more expensive.
Okay, I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, but we've beaten this thing for months. I'd like to move on with some other stuff for this meeting today, if we can.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think we're just dropping the ball here either. I think that if we get the DEP...
Well, right now, we're just going around in circles right now for this meeting.
Yeah. That concludes.
That's it? Superintendent?
Yep.
All right. So, we're on to old business, which includes to discuss and move to accept the employee handbook. This is where a member of the public, Ms. Gardner, had some concerns with respect to certain portions of the handbook being redundant and potentially causing some problems down the road somehow. What's that? We may have corrected those. Do you have the current version?
I have.
Yeah. I don't know that I have the most current version on the handbook. I didn't print it out. All right, how do you guys want to attack this?
Do you have a list? Either take that thing and lower it down so you can stay seated, or...
Okay, if you turn to your handbook... And you go to the second page after the index.
I think we just have the one copy here, just
just Dawn.
So that'll be page. Right. Do you have a copy of that handbook, Mark?
No.
Page 8, you're looking at?
Of the information contained in the handbook is the sole discretion of the superintendent. I think it should say, should be the sole discretion of the Board of Water Commissioners and the superintendent, but I think it shouldn't, the handbook shouldn't be all of this discretion. It shouldn't be one person's responsibility. I just want you to think about that. It sets the tone for the rest of the wording throughout the whole handbook.
Would the word administration be okay?
Mm-hmm. I just, because you bounce back and forth throughout the whole handbook, some things go to the superintendent, some things go to the Board of Water Commissioners, so that would be fine. And I mean, I don't care if you include all of you, it just shouldn't be all Chris's.
I think originally that was just put on to try to keep some stuff in there and some stuff from happening to go to the commissioners if it could.
Right.
We did talk about that, and Chris, as the responsible superintendent, has to step up and take responsibility for a number of things.
Well, he should take the employee responsibility and bring it to you, but ultimately he should bear.
Okay. You can
okay. I'm just letting you know because further in the book it says you guys. So that's what I'll see.
Yep.
Okay. I do have a question. Does any water department employee currently previously have a contract in place? I don't think so, right? Okay. So then that means. Because there's a section that says all personnel following the policies and practices outlined in this handbook, except where specifically applied by contract.
Right.
So there are no contracts.
But that could deal with anything in the future, though.
And that's fine. I just wanted to make sure. And then it says these policies do not themselves constitute an employee contract, which is good. Pre- and post-employment checks. Who is responsible for doing the queries for the water department?
Queries.
So he does all the background checks and you keep them. Okay, that's fine. Then you use the word excessive a lot throughout the book, but there's no definition of what excessive means, so that's subjective. What some person might consider excessive, another person wouldn't consider excessive. So at some point, there should be a definition of what excessive means.
That can be argued a couple ways.
Yep.
If I have a line right there that says, if I step over it, I'm excessive, then I'm going to go up to it every goddamn day and be a real pain in the ass.
Oh, I know.
So I think that could be, subjective is not a bad thing sometimes.
Okay. The reason I want to bring that up is when we get down to absences for sick days, some places it says that after a certain amount you require a doctor's note, and then in other places it says the sole discretion of the... So that's what I'm saying, it's redundant. It almost looks like we use the old handbook and then we cut and pasted something in from somebody else's handbook, and that's what I'm saying. It's like that balance doesn't make sense.
It says on the 3, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't it?
Are you talking about the pre- and post-employment checks? Or
No, sick days.
I'll get the sick day part. Okay, hold on. Let me get there.
And this is for the employees. Then I'm sorry I didn't have page numbers. It didn't. There's a section in the handbook that says, may not after leaving public service take a job involving public contracts or other particular matters in which you participated as an employee. That should have a time frame. It shouldn't be just saying they can't ever do that.
Some of the stuff was taken out of state law.
That's not
safe. Well, I could say is that
that's what I'm saying. I think it was cut and pasted, but it didn't all follow it. Because usually when you have that in there, you have a time frame of 1 year, 2 years.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to say, just for a second, what we have here, we had written, then we had reviewed by a lawyer.
He had comments written on it on the side.
For quite a while. Yeah.
Yep.
That's he came down with an acceptance on it to us. Now I'm listening to some of the stuff here, and I don't know how much more. I don't want to say. Do we have to give it to another lawyer to look at now? Is that
no? What? As a group, you have to just read it and make sure before you accept it. Like, everybody needs to go through here and read it and say, okay, this says this in this page, this says this in this page. What are we going to accept? You can't accept two things that say the same thing about the same thing that are totally different. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. We have, I put forward a whole bunch of things that went back that produced this version.
Right.
So, I mean.
And this version had comments on the side from the attorney to say you needed to look at it. So I just want to make sure. All I'm here for is that you take the time to make sure before you make the vote. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
Those comments were from
September.
Yeah, right? Those comments weren't from the lawyer. Those comments were actually from the gentleman who wrote it there, Rutherford.
Rutherford, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The comments that you saw were from Warren when he was putting it out and writing it.
Okay, that's fine. They needed to be addressed. What you choose to do is fine. I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you say you choose it and vote on it and leave these things as they are, you could potentially have issues down the road. And, you know, it's nice that you have this, but I'm telling you right now, it's 10 times better than the firefighter's contract the way it's written. So I applaud you for that. But just don't be so quick to approve it until you feel comfortable with it.
I have been looking at this thing for a lot longer than just a short period of time. And I've read all the different versions, changes. I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Just if you have comments, leave them, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the current handbook we have is
okay,
not.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I agree. And I didn't.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to put a rubber stamp on it so you feel comfortable that you've read it and made sure it's really what you wanted.
Yeah. And I looked at it in the summer and then in the beginning of the fall and read through it. And then at the last meeting, we decided to have another pass at it because there were some changes. And I haven't read, I'll be honest with you, I haven't read that version. So maybe what we ought to do at this point in time, for the sake of time, and to move through this meeting, is give it another read and bring it to the next meeting, because I didn't print out a copy and bring it with me. I don't think Commissioner Robinson did either. I applaud you for doing that, Don.
Well,
and I don't want to go through it line by line tonight when we have the rate survey to do.
I do just have one thing that I had a question about when I read over it. And when it has to do with the sick time, it says after 90 days of service, any accrued sick, earned sick leave may be used by the employee. So if they get sick in the first 90 days, they just don't get paid?
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Is that a common practice?
Yes. Yes. That's the way it's been here, at least.
Okay.
But it's also up to the discretion of you guys whether you want to lend them time or not.
Right. That was the only thing that I had a question about. So.
And I think this is not the start of the handbook, because you might ask the question. How many personal days do you think
employees have? I have no idea.
How many personal days?
You're employed. How many personal days do you think?
I would think three a year.
Yeah, of course, there's a handbook that comes with you because there's a section that says you have a day that you take your kid to the doctor and everything, but also in the handbook it says now that you can kind of do that. That's the redemption. That's why I just want to look at that. Like, that was important back in the day.
people in Florida.
There is a voting clause in there. If they can't make it to ours, we have to let them off.
Why?
To vote.
If they can't vote. All
right, listen.
Okay. Most people don't get the total vote. I would specifically want to do that. I'm just saying it. So not only on top of that, that would be 5 persons.
Well, that would be if they weren't open before the hours of work or after the hours of work.
That's all I'm saying. But that's not hard to do. That's up to you. You want to give your employees 5 days. I just thought that was a little bit. But that's okay.
All right. So how do you guys feel about this? Would you like to give another 30 days till our next meeting? Take a look at...
I would like some chance to see these comments and some of them in the sub-subjects and maybe we can have a second. I don't think we're saying anybody here in another month. Sorry.
No, I
don't have to apologize to me. I've seen things go on for years here.
Right. I think that's fine.
I know.
Okay. So we're going to, you're going to send your comments to Jen. Jen, could you forward those to us through email, and we will download this thing, download it again, print it. No, I'm not going to print it. I'm just going to download it. Maybe I should print it and bring it next time. Yeah, it's on my computer at home. And we'll give it this read for this version and bring it next month. Yeah, and I appreciate your candor and your opinions.
It is something that can be still modified again later days.
Correct. Yeah, I don't think we're in need of it this month, right?
We still have one.
We have one.
We have one, yeah. We still have one. We're working off of one now. It might not be as up to date with the laws, but it supersedes some stuff anyways. And if someone comes in and says, that's illegal, you can't do it, that's illegal, you can't do it.
That's it. All right, cost of services, study, discussion. So we'll move into that.
Oh.
This is why I asked Jen to be here to help us with the numbers, too.
Okay.
Before we get to the numbers, I also think that there should be some numbers available on how many households are in these different categories, heavy users.
You have those numbers.
We do. So that's another set of numbers. And I know that whenever we go to town meetings, we try to tell people how does this going to affect the basis and the overall impact. So yes, the water may be, but your district tax rate now, so the effect on the average household is X, 2% of this, 10% of this. So that's all I just wanted to kind of put that in.
So, Don, do you want
to that's
weigh in on that?
Without maybe verbalizing it like that, it has been in my thought process about, make sure that the public's involved with, at some meetings, presentations, and stuff like that. It's always been with the understanding that we're taking money out of one pocket and taking it out of the other pocket. It's probably going to end up being a wash in the end with taxes. But we need to meet with the Prudential Committee to make sure we understand how that process works. And so we'll make a presentation to the members and people of the district. They understand that this first year it's going to be a hit because they don't adjust the taxes until after this has been in process for a full year. So they see the income coming in, then they can adjust the tax. They can be adjusted downward. We had some people here earlier that came here specifically to tell us that please raise the rates because they are artificially low. They're just low, low, low. And they would fully endorse the raise the rates, and they gave examples of other places that were quite a bit more than what we're paying. So it's not going to be a process where we just say, yeah, that's it, and then it's done, and drop it on them. We're going to come to, I would hope, consensus amongst the member of the boards and the superintendent and whoever's here of what's the best way to go to achieve our goals, and then we can advertise some meetings with it through the Civic Association. I would think it would be the best way if we also put a mailing out, too.
Yeah.
Get people involved so it won't be a surprise. But we should also, after we get to our consensus point, we should meet with the Prudential Committee to see how the process goes with them, too, because it's going to affect both parties.
Have you heard previously from the Prudential Committee?
This is generated by the Prudential Committee.
Okay. So I'd heard that there was, we need more money out of that water department. That's part of the system.
This was 100% generated by Prudential.
Okay, good. Good. Politically, that's good.
Spend more money with.
And that is my biggest concern because I'm not sure if you're all aware of it, because no one wants to come out and say what's going on. But we had a cushion at the town that's supposed to be there for situations like this that is now zero because they borrowed every penny they could to cover up this spending on this residence part. And I think we need to make sure as citizens, not as water commissioners, that you realize that by doing this, which is, I'm not saying bad or good, I'm sort of in favor of raising a little bit, but it's not going to cause you a lot to give them.
Okay, well.
That's something that's out of our
hands. Yeah.
Right, but like you're saying,
regardless, the consultants are supposed to attend one public hearing with us.
Yes.
And I think we have consensus that we'd like to see a public hearing.
Yeah.
To go over the rates. We've been given, they got the 1 and the 1A and the 2 and the 2A, right?
3 and 4.
All right, so we've given eight proposals plus the current one. I don't know that we need to go to a public hearing with all eight proposals.
We should have a recommendation.
You know, and I'd like to have preference and
free-floating anxiety. I think we should decide what kind of rate structure we think is appropriate and present that and respond to it. This is public information if they want to see what the other scenarios are.
Correct.
6 months passed, but I thought it was going to be.
We're supposed to send out bills in March right now.
Okay, March. So if this was adopted,
that would be our base charge or our minimum charge would go out.
That should go out now?
That should go out in March.
In March, yeah.
We just sent out our excess bills.
Right.
So to answer that question,
try to bring our money more in at a more frequently, so we're not throwing a big chunk of money at the end of the year, and they would rather have the money there coming in. Yeah. Yes. Right.
So we could set a new year. We could set a new year and say, okay, well, typically it's been October to September, but we're changing it now to March. So.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
So you could start the rate
with the March billing.
So we would have to decide how to bill for the usage between October 1st and whatever date we decide to start the billing effect. And then start the March.
We're just going to be a split year from the beginning until March is one split, and then whatever we decide on can be the next split.
Could always go on read and just charge everybody what they use. Stop once again. But it takes us 2 to 3 days to read. So whatever we do, we could always just close the books and start from fresh.
So is March a good time to get back to this process?
That's kind of based on your workload.
Correct. You know what?
It only takes a couple, 3 days.
Yeah, it takes 3 days. I can do it at busiest time if I have to. It's not really that big a deal because usually it's me driving around with one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just me. So usually the first day and a half, I think this year I took one guy. Actually, I had somebody 2 days. I went the first day by myself. Correct. I mean, there's a little more when we have to get into things, but we're not going to have as many if we're reading a couple times a year. And it would help us finding leaks quicker, somebody who wouldn't have to come in for a leak adjustment because they noticed something quicker in the house or something to that effect.
So that's, I mean, that's favorable for our department. Yeah. It might take a little extra time for the reading.
Yeah, it might be just like anything. You know, originally it might take a little more work to get it started, but I think in the long run it will work its way out.
Because they do have a way to receive a bill. You can receive a mailing.
We can have one of them postcards even made. You know, said something like that.
Is there do we have any idea when Tata and Howard, the consultants, would be available to give a presentation for a public hearing?
I will say they're at our beck and call.
They are?
Yep.
Okay.
If Ryan can't be here, somebody else will.
Okay. And I think they've got everything they need now, and we have everything we need in order to do that.
I believe so, yeah. The only thing is, like I said, is the structure, how we want to hit it, attack it. You know, do we want to keep, we were talking about, you know, we have a minimum, but there's only one scenario out of all that raises the minimum up. Whereas if you look at everybody over here, they have a block rate, some of them are a block rate 0 gallons, I mean, in the beginning. Their base charge, you know, for 0 gallons. Some of them for 1,000 gallons, just to start out, for being parked, yeah. And I think that's something there we're discussing that would bring up a little bit of revenue right then and there. So, I mean, we could throw another scenario out. Everything's got to go up. Hourly rates have been coming since I've been here. When I started working here, it was $35 an hour for me to go out and dig. It's still $35 an hour for my guys to go out and dig right now. Find me someone who will dig for $35. Well, I shouldn't say that. Find me a business that will go out and dig for $35 an hour.
Okay. Wasn't that part of the cost of service study originally? Or was it all just about rates?
No, there's two parts. I mean, I think the cost of service study was sent to Prudential. Fran has that already? The cost of services?
Yes, that's the expense projection.
Yeah.
That,
and then the rate change is separate from that. These are the expense summaries here.
And so,
gotcha. That's the cost of service.
Yeah.
So this is where you're saying we need to make some adjustments as well. But it's just given us our total actuals. and then projected. Right?
This is just given the cost that it takes to run the water department.
This is just like our annual budget. Right. Correct. Okay. So we do not have the data that you're talking about, the hourly data.
No.
We install.
That,
right.
And that comes under right now there. If you look at where the cost of services for.
If you look at like page 4 in there, right?
Yeah.
Service connection.
Non-rate
fee.
Revenue, yeah, turn on, turn off. That's currently what's coming in at the current pricing.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything anywhere in here that we should raise that rate to a certain size to make a certain area. It just says this is how much it
brings in. That's all we get. Yeah. And it's flat right across the
correct.
Board. We want to change that. Well, we're changing the rates.
When we change, I think we ought to change everything when we change.
I would take a suggestion. I would take from the superintendent, who is does the day-to-day work there, if he wants to come up with suggested changes in rates and fees for work that they do all the time, then to have that so we can look at it. I don't want to be doing those changes myself. I'd rather have him do them, and then we could look at them.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
You know, by looking at our budget,
the only other additional outside the scope of what we're talking, it's not outside the scope, but by making this change, we're doing something. Let me go backwards. In the past, we had a certain percentage of the water department's monies came from rates, and a certain part came from taxes. And it was Rick Kiley's belief many, many years ago. It was important to have a tax component because there were people who do not use our water that get a benefit through the fire. If we take away the tax part, which we're planning on doing, then the people that do not use our water are going to get a benefit for free. Well, why are you shaking your head?
Because
I
would. Because they factored that into the cost of service study, and that's why like when they split the admin cost, or they factored in how much of the water tank was for firefighting purposes and not just maintaining pressure in there. So that was part of their calculation in here to provide the
I get that, but where do we get compensated for that? Do we send a bill? A once a year bill to people that don't get our water for the fire protection service they're offered.
It's
in the tax rate. Well, then I thought we're being out of the tax rate.
Okay.
I thought we're going to be out of the tax rate by doing this.
No, we're not going to be 100% out of the tax rate. We would be paying about 85%.
So then I'm going to make another argument. I'm going to be taxed and pay extra water bills.
Yes.
But I don't. Okay. I'm just not seeing it, and I don't see it. But then.
Where it talks about the employee
page 3.
I am missing stuff.
It's 4. It's 4A debt service and 5A.
Okay, I see 5A.
Primarily four, go one before that. That's what. Yeah.
Did.
2 meetings ago.
We did. If you look at page 3.
Percentages are here too.
And that's just the page I'm looking at here.
Yep. So. Correct.
All right. I'm looking at stuff here and I'm not seeing anything that makes sense to me. So. That show up in the in these things. Where is that money in here?
It shows them what we have to make up.
That's to cover 90% to be covered by water rates. 10% will be covered by taxes, which will support the fire department and their needs.
Okay. As long as that's covered, that's all. As long as it's covered, that's all.
So if somebody is in district tax, which includes fire department salaries and water suppression, even if they have private wells, right?
Yeah.
Nothing
on the water rate, but through the taxes, they are supporting the money that's spent for the fire protection part of the deal, what the percentage they believe it is.
And if they go to the library and use the bubbler, the library is going to do that one.
Well, maybe they'll buy it for who knows. We do need
a sandwich well kind of wall.
So let's get back to a public hearing and when we want to set that. If we're gonna try to move on this and do something with the rates and the structure, then we want to do that in March.
Yeah.
Right?
So we have a public hearing February 14th during the blizzard. Right?
In the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day?
Or we'll do it on
How about the 28th? The 28th of December.
This is the problem. Is politically you're coming into a dead zone where nobody's going to win anything.
They're going to be in Florida.
So,
we can wait till May.
Why don't we get it all prepped?
Then you'll be gone.
We'll do it.
No. Don't you dare. If we're going to wait that long, then wait till after May, then I'll be good.
I mean, you know, it's never any good time anyway.
Right. And when we have our meetings in the middle of the summer, nobody comes. You know, Amy comes, Cynthia comes every once in a while. Well, they know we've been working on this. They know we've been working on this. We talked about this in the district meeting. They know this.
Yeah. So
right? I mean, and
if it's a blizzard, we can tell Tate and Howard to come later.
Just.
I guess it's another winter.
I don't know if we're.
Here?
Until we decide when we can do this meeting, we can make some forward progress on what we want to recommend.
I mean, originally, Tater and Howard was going to come in June, middle of the season, right? But they didn't get the data that they needed, so it got delayed, which is fine. That happens. And that would have been, you know, more seasonable to get potentially more residents involved.
I know that other places, they just follow the
expend my political capital for that. I don't really care.
We can't build it backwards, but we. But you know? I just want to make sure that we have this discussion.
Yeah.
As part of the process, the substance here is important. So is the process. That's what I'm saying. Because if there's many, maybe they could probably make some kids healthy. You know, politics of this thing is seeking to support the substance. So that it's everybody's had a chance to view think about how it's going to affect me.
So,
so
should we do a mailing?
Yeah. And I think having those average households in areas, and you know, have some board members talk about the fact that some people don't think they're still paying on the taxes. I don't think that some people are free, free riders because they're paying our org and they have private law.
I think there's only one house in Kituit that has two. Well, no, I mean that has calm water in it.
Well, you have to live in Kituit.
There might be one or two that have calm water. There's more houses in Kituit, I mean in calm, that have Kituit water that I know of right now that we used to charge them double pay that we don't anymore.
Why not?
Huh? Only one road, yeah.
Which ambulance goes?
Huh?
Which ambulance goes to those houses?
It depends.
Yeah. So you're going to look at the fee schedule and adjustments there, right?
Yes.
We have some scenarios for rates here. It sounds like we also would like to have some information about what it's going to do to different user groups, different tiers. We have that? So we could put together a flyer with this is what we're going to do to our rates for
this
services.
This is
yes, there's a number for that.
We do based
is that
on
here?
Like
no,
I
was getting it from there.
And they've made some assumptions after that.
So I don't have that.
No, it's like I wrote it into my page when I was questioning her today.
Because that's something I was thinking about when I was going through the different scenarios. It's like I'd like to go talk to some of these. 120,000 or greater, 60,000 or greater. I personally like rate scenario 3.
So the number of people under the lowest rate, 0 to 20,000, is 561.
0 to 20,000?
Yeah. I got them today in the office.
Oh.
Well, I was trying to prepare. 561 is 0 to 20,000. 20,000 to 40,000 is 390. $20,000 to $40,000 is 390. 40 to 80 is 617. 80 to 120 is 388. And then the 120 and greater is broken down into two numbers. 120 and greater is 411. And over 200,000 is 260. Okay, so basically 120 to 200 is 411, and over 200 is 260. And that's the...
That's total number of users?
No.
No?
I guess it is. I would try to figure out stuff with Jen this afternoon. Yeah. Which is a possibility.
Yeah. 260.
That is a possibility.
Is that,
that's why
that's mostly businesses.
Like that. I don't want to take credit for it. Okay, I am dyslexic.
Not 200. Oh, 160.
160. Okay. Yeah, there's a significant amount of people in each category.
Yeah. Who's that?
They're
residential. And they're paying $3. Right. Yeah. They're not going to pay.
Somebody does. It might not be them.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Drive around at the right time of year, you can tell exactly what it is. It's very green.
It's green everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, don't let that happen. All right, so where we stand right now is we're going to need to pull together some figures for our services, service figures for increases. All right?
Yep. I'll get those together.
And then...
Be more of a more local thing, like some of the prices.
Yeah, look at what the other guys are doing.
We were talking about that earlier.
Think about covering
what we charge for a turnoff. What somebody else charges for a turnoff is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, even some of the things, like I told her, for years we charged $15 to do a close.
And she says, well, it's really not much money. It doesn't take much time. But, you know, you've got to send the guy out there to read it. The guy comes back with the stuff and gives it to her. Then she's going to sit down for 15 minutes and do it and send it off and everything. So it's an hour labor, basically. So you're going to have to put it like an hour, basically, just like anything else.
And then you just told me that I had the adjustment differences here somewhere. You gave those to us. Or Don has those. So in other words, what the difference a rate payer would pay like me?
Well,
what am I going
to go
pay?
With that. I was starting to go.
So I just did a quick calculation for him. An average user, if they would, assuming there was no change to the minimum amount, they would pay $36 for the minimum. We just picked one scenario to go by.
Which one did you pick?
Let's say they used 120,000 gallons either.
1A.
So we use the current rate of $36 or $1.80 a gallon for the first 20,000 gallons compared to $4.59. And then $2.45 compared to $6.25, $2.70 compared to $6.89. If their current bill right now
$108 to $2.75, is it?
Right. If their bill would increase to $663.40
a gallon.
And it would be what?
That was
now?
Under 80 to.
A couple hundred bucks.
190,
280. Right. So I was going to suggest a little chore for you.
That's what I was thinking.
If we could set up, a spreadsheet right here showing first on one line the different rate levels we have and how many households are on those rate levels. And that and the next item would be what they're paying now at those rate levels. And then next, if we come up with a couple of options tonight or whenever we do it, there's possibilities for changes if they could be put in line by line. So then we could sit and look at all of them, you know, to compare. But to do part of that is also... we need to look at whether or not we want to change our billing process, because I think, yeah.
You mean the two bills or the four bills, or?
Yeah. Yeah? You know, right now, we have one basic bill, right?
Right.
And
then the next.
So that ends up being two
right.
bills a year.
Yep.
If we go to, there's one thing where we could go keep one basic bill and have two overage bills, one at 6 months and one at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's three bills a year. Or we can do four bills where there's two, the basic bill is split in half, one at 6 months and one
mm-hmm.
at the end of the year, or one at the beginning of the year, six, however you want to do it, and then in between we do overage bills. There is a cost. It's about $1,800 each mailing for the bills. But it's, I guess it still shows that I don't know how that would be. We're going from $4,000 a year to possibly $8,000 a year. If you go
so
to
the cost of materials.
Yep, yeah.
Diamond.
We have a metered.
Department,
yeah.
So
this is the roughly the information on. The building. So I think that would be easy to be able to side by side compare stuff.
It's a small expense.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that myself.
$1,800 per mailer.
Yes, if we had one more. And it's going to be a continuous. We're not not going to be starting out from zero or 6 months through. It's going to be continuous, so you'll still get them higher. It's still going to try to keep people from using a lot of water. Yeah, so it's not going to cut it down, which kind of would break the whole thing of having the ascending rate. You don't really want to do that. It wouldn't discourage people really from using too much water. You want to keep it up there so the high uses, when they get that last bill, I can be like, whoa.
Turn the water off.
Yeah, stop watering. And, you know, water that lawn once a week instead of 5 days a week.
We could go back to the days of Cape Cod back in the 1950s when there wasn't any sprinkler systems and everything was like crabgrass. And it was real Cape Cod.
Codfish bones to wipe through your hair. Yeah. I know.
My yard when I was growing up was
salt and
pine
salt cod.
Yeah. We had the pine needles.
And shale driveways.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about stuff like that, and I remember being told of a town in California that was asked to do stuff to save on the water, and people were putting bricks in their toilets so they pick up the volume, and they saved so much water they had to raise the rates.
Yeah.
So, which is very counterproductive.
Well, not if you're trying to save water.
I know, but if people are trying to save
money.
Which
kind of need to do it.
I don't know where they're finding all the water. Where's that water?
They're pulling that out of the ocean.
Uh-huh.
That's salt water.
Yeah.
Salt water?
Yeah.
You can pump up the out.
It's pumped.
You just have to really.
Funny that.
You really have to rinse out the stuff afterwards, though.
Yeah. All right, Jen, you're going to do that for us.
I'll work with Tim and Howard on that.
Bill adjustments per tier. Yeah, he's going to do that. Truthfully.
Some of the questions at least they can have asked the rest of the answers. You know, when was the last rate change?
Well, it's going to be well over 15 years, I would think.
Give a document.
There was an adjustment.
So when we look at this, the scenarios, because I just want to touch on that before we, they have 1 and 1A. Obviously, 1, if you look at 1, you were good for this year, but you're not good for the next 5 years out because you start to fall behind at the bottom. You know, the balance, now you have a negative balance as you go forward, and that is at a 136% increase.
Okay.
Scenario 1?
Yeah. So this one?
Yeah.
So we're 80 grand in the red.
Yeah,
right?
We'll start going negative.
But that's 80 grand that we would get from taxes.
That's negative. This is our obligation right here.
Yeah.
And we would be $76,000 short of that obligation, 71 short. Here, I don't know why 20. This probably has to do with capital expenses that year. Yeah. So, and then if you turn the page over and you get to 1A, that's a much higher rate, but you are not going to be, you're going to cover what we consider to be our responsibility in going throughout this thing for the next 5 years, I'd like to be, have this rate increase be good for at least 5 years.
The interesting thing on that one that I saw was in FY22,
It goes up to 58,000.
I think that's because of debt service.
But in FY 22 on one, it goes down to 28,000. So.
And on.
I didn't understand that.
It's because see how we're positive, then we get really positive. We're negative and we're less negative.
Okay.
But they also
so we're making it up here. So that's built into the different years? They didn't just average that.
Well,
they projected based on.
Okay, and then if you go to the scenario two, again, at the 135%, we're negative almost immediately as compared to the 2A, which is different from 1A, and it changes the billing frequency to biannual billing, so they go from one basic bill to two basic bills or two overage bills.
Right. Which I like the idea. I mean, I could say let's throw out 1 and 1A right now because it keeps the same billing structure on both of those, as we have existed. And I just heard our superintendent say, if we were reading meters more often, we might catch problems more often, and we wouldn't be having to
address these. That's a service that I think we wouldn't issues. Have to worry about quite the number of leaks that people ask us to make adjustments for.
You know, and that's a water conservation thing as well.
And, I mean, if Jen catches a lot of little stuff for people, you know, and calls them up and says, hey, listen, you know, a frozen meter. If something got put in backwards, if somebody's been messing with something, if it's all of a sudden, you know, your usage is getting more and more and more, and you call the guy up and the guy says, well, I got a toilet leaking, but it's not going to use that much, because yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Get it fixed. You know, basically, something like that, whereas if it went the following year, like the It's a good. It can't hurt, especially for the price that it costs us to do it.
Right. It makes sense. That's why I like the two or the four, which is the two and the three. The two, three, or four. Yeah. Made more sense to me when I was looking at trying to figure out why the difference is that
scenario
makes sense.
Two.
I think if we ran them both, we'd find that the basic with two excess is the way to go. Where everybody gets a basic use in the beginning. Some people on that second bill might not even go beyond that basic use. You don't know. You know, if we put out like before, if we put our basic to 20,000 gallons or to 40,000 gallons and say, hey, it's $80 now or something like that for 40,000 gallons instead of the 72 we charge now or more, whatever it is, but it's for 20,000 gallons. Or we have some people who don't get a bill because they don't use 20,000 gallons. So they might not go over till month 8, and they'll get a bill at the very end of the year like they do now. They might not get one in the second bill. It's going to be confusing to people, like, why didn't I get three bills if we're going to three bills? Because you didn't use enough water to warm one. So we might not have the cost of as many things being done. Like she was saying, $18,000 for a new mailing, another mailing, it might be less.
$1,800,
sorry.
Yeah.
It might be less because of that.
That's the number of that session bill.
Okay.
So, you know, they might not have the second bill.
Right.
Minimum use fee would be kind of what we have now, where they would pay X amount.
That's what my understanding is. And that base fee is going to increase anyways. It doesn't stay $36 in this process, does it?
We have a minimum use fee now.
They don't have a that's base. Right. We don't have a base fee.
All right, so the minimum, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's
they
going
call
to increase in this.
In here, they call a base fee on some of them. 20,000 gallons is the base fee.
Yeah. So.
Some of them have a base fee.
A base charge.
They get comp. They have a base charge, and then they charge for every drop of water.
Right. But if you look at Mashpee, their base charge is $15,050.
Right. That's the minimum use charge.
It's yeah. They have it as base charge here on here. So it's just, it, they've got afterwards in here who uses what, who doesn't. 1,000 gallons at Barnstable for 45.
I'm just trying to be very clear on what we're talking about, so I don't have to ask him.
Yeah. Which is more than, for their 1,000, they're paying more than we do for 20, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're paying it quarterly.
Yeah, I know. That's so, why they're at 170%
yeah.
instead of 27% or 45%.
Yeah. But there's nothing the matter with that. I think people will pay that, and that's a base fee to have water to your house, to have water on your road, right? I mean, if you have a meter, that's you get hit with a base fee. If you don't have a meter, you don't get hit with that. So you won't have a base fee.
Have a water usage fee.
No, you won't have any. Right. Yeah.
And do we want to consider another step in the usage there for over 200,000 or over 400,000 or you know what I mean? We do have a somewhat significant number of people that are over
200,000.
Yeah, 160 people are over 200,000.
I'm all for that because anybody that's using over 200,000 gallons of water doesn't care.
Or they're making money on what they're producing
right.
with their water.
Right. True.
Or what?
They're making money on what they produce with their water.
Maybe they're selling it.
They're selling the water in bottles with a label on it and Stop and Shop.
I know for a fact that the Brewster Water Department sells water to contracts to deliver it to the province that pools.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done that before. We've built it.
You hook up
sometimes.
A meter and then whatever goes out. And, yeah.
But McCourt, Rushy Marsh Farms, is growing product and selling that on Nantucket. So they're making money on our water and sunlight and whatever else they
can. So, I mean, if we do another tier there, that would adjust the everything else accordingly.
Yeah, and again, that breakdown was based on 2017 usage, and that was a low water usage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a base fee, too.
Yeah.
0 to 20,000. You know, 0 to 10,000.
Yeah, well that's what we do now. We have a $32 charge for 20,000
gallons.
For
20,000 gallons.
That's right. After that, we still only pay $36 to 40,000 gallons. Yeah. As I said earlier to Don, originally we used to have a $72 for 40,000 gallons, and that was our minimum charge that went out. John Anderson, when he was here, said, there's people out there that don't use 40,000 gallons a year. Instead of hurting these people and hitting them, we ought to help them by breaking everything in half then. So they only pay from the 20 to 40,000, they only pay $1.80 or whatever it is per gallon, and they get away, they don't get anything. We don't get anything for free. I'll put it that way. They don't pay for something they didn't use.
To throw one more thing out there, we get a call about that. Asking if we have a different rate for irrigation, or if somebody had an irrigation system and had a meter for a coastal system and a meter for irrigation.
No, we don't. That is something that's totally different for Hyannis. That's for Hyannis, and that's because they base their
sewage, yeah, their wastewater off of their water usage. So if they have a sprinkler line that has a meter on it, they don't have to base their sewage cost off of it. It gets deducted. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's doing treatment. Yeah. We're not doing treatment.
Yeah. I'm going to move. I have two streets. They're all going to get charged on. When they bring the pipes down the road, Little River and Putnam, I've been called frontage on both of those.
Wow. So you pay.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting the team.
Can you read my mic? All them houses have frontage on Putnam, and it's all open space, so don't worry about it. It can dead end. I guess I don't know the force. I don't know.
I don't think so. You go further down the road, there's nothing.
So what scenarios do you guys like? Do you want to change our billing scenarios?
I mean, do.
It sounds like our water professionals
I would mean that
want
way.
That.
So is there a decent straight line percentage increases or really random? How do they decide these tiered things? So we can figure out what would be the next percentage increase for over $200 or the millions.
Yeah, the 40 to 80 and the 80 to 120 is pretty close, and that we'd think there'd be a little bit of greater difference in that right there.
Something they'd have.
Multiple billing. Yeah. I think the advantage of the multiple billing is twofold. I mean, it keeps the cash flow for the district, which there's an interest in. And as far as getting a bill, I'd rather get four bills at this height instead of one bill at this height, one like that. Yeah.
People that money is the larger usage of money you want.
if the state had it their way, there wouldn't be a sprinkler system out there. You know, you wouldn't be able to put a sprinkler system in.
Yes. Yes. If it's a lot of kids taking long showers, this is what's up. Dad's like that.
So, Mark, just so I understand what you're saying, is that your tiers right now are based on our existing tiers going up a set percentage.
Yes.
And you're saying that the percentage ought to be a little higher as you go up in
tiers. Graduated. Yeah. Kathy's mom and Georgie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all those people.
Right. Yeah. Which makes sense.
Elderly singles are the ones probably having was Bob
mm-hmm.
the fixed
mm-hmm.
income.
Yeah.
So if the heavy users are subsidizing those people, it's a problem.
And that would be restaurants.
Now you brought up a point.
Golf course.
Well, the school uses quite a bit of money, water, doesn't it? It's
no.
Done it doesn't?
No.
Are you kidding?
The golf course would be one of the
golf course.
The highest. Every year we publish the...
So I don't consider that a golf course.
Five times usually.
Oh boy, it's recorded.
Mini golf for you. So every year they're top five times usually.
Yeah.
Printing company.
Yeah.
Blue
we
Jean
have a couple of restaurants, you know.
Blue Jeans on it.
No, they shouldn't use much.
Well, maybe do we have a commercial real estate company?
We don't.
No. So maybe commercial items. Well,
stuff to think about what we have for commercial. I mean, we're somewhat limited on that.
Yeah, we don't have much commercial ink to it, really, to speak of. Right. Right. I mean, that's Route 28 and
the Northwest as well. Ktuwit Center for the Arts.
Yeah.
Kettle Hall. Blue Jean Printing.
Gas stations, yeah.
Botello's is Mashpee.
Botello's Mashpee. The church and then the daycare. Kids' school there, right next to
that. I think Ketuap is fed by Mashpee.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah. We didn't have water there when they built that.
Hmm.
So originally, Mashpee fed instead of feeding them.
The hotel and barn area?
That's in Mashpee.
It's Mashpee as well.
Yep, that side of the road is Mashpee. The other
side. See, our commercial stuff, it really is not.
I know, it's a weird line. It runs right down the center of the road. You should see when there's a fire down there, they both show up. Who's annoying on what side of the road?
So, add a higher tier?
I would like to consider it. I mean, we can look at, if we can come up with what it would look like if we added a higher tier in some graduated percentages. And the outcome should still be, we should be hopefully in a positive balance throughout this next 5-year time period. That would be the goal. Sure.
I think we give them a couple scenarios like that, you know, especially like with the tier, like you were saying, the percentage changing per the higher the usage, the higher the percentage, and then adding an over 200,000 tier or something. Correct. Yep.
So the biannual billing really is a quarterly billing. Ends up being that four bills a year. This would be my request. If we do the graduate, we do the additional tier, graduate the percentages, then show three bills and four bills. See how that breaks down as far as, you know, what they have to outlay. And at the end of the day, it's going to be the same amount of money, but it's going to be spread out.
Graduated increase in tiers. With the higher rate increase, we stop some tiers. So it's 183 increase on third, fourth tiers, and the second bill is like. And 131 on the first and second tiers. And it's positive balance for all 5 years.
So this one is because it's biannual billing.
Two bills annually.
Annually, then there's the overages twice a year, so that ends up being four bills.
That's the tiers, not the cycles, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's the graduate.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's biannual billing there, that's 60,000, really is 120 and greater for the year.
Say that again.
This is for half a year, so the 120.
Oh, sure.
That's great. So if we did another tier at 200,000, it'd be 100,000 and greater. And that gets us to our goal.
And excess use kicks in at anything over 1,000 gallons?
Or 20,000 for the year. Says 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look right just above where it says 10,000, 20,000, it says excess use rates.
Dollars per 1,000 gallons.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they use excess.
So it would be 10 because they have 10 to 20 there.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the first 10 would be.
So your base rate is up to $10.
Yeah, it says minimum base under 10,000. He had 200. Yeah. So it's probably the same right now, $36 the same?
It says 131% rate increase on first and second tier and minimum base change.
Oh.
Then second tier.
Right. So assuming we're going to start
out this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that'd be worth comparing, I would think.
Yeah, I don't. I think it addresses Mark's suggestion, more so than any of the others. Four does the same thing. It's got the adjusted rates per tier, but you're running in the red.
Because
$5,000 in
the initial rate is 112% instead of
$1,000. Yeah. So it doesn't 382 per for the first 20,000 gallons. That's about what we're charging now, right? No, we're at 480.
So,
give them another one.
Yeah, right now.
And then we'd have something, I think, to send the people and they could,
well,
they could feel informed.
We have a much better idea.
Correct.
We have a much better idea.
Yeah. This is just the start, and then we can whittle down stuff, and then we have two or three things to look at comparison wise.
Is there anything else? Personally, I think you're not going to like this answer. I think we're irresponsible if we don't have a long-term stabilization fund. I think that what's going to happen is we're going to end up with an issue, we're going to end up having to do treatment, and we're going to have to call a special district meeting to get the money to do something down the road. And the sooner we do that, the better off I think we are, and we have funds through the solar credits, and we have funds through the antenna project that we could put into a stabilization fund. And I don't know why we wouldn't start that, even if it's a small amount. The state's guidelines are it has to be whatever funding source you tap into, you have to take at least 25% of that, right? So,
is that the rule? Is it 25%?
Yeah, that's what Vic had provided for us a while back. So I don't know if you want to get into that tonight or how we're going to deal with that, but you do have that meeting coming up.
Well, I mean, if we're not ready to develop something, I'll just say it's ready.
And they asked us to do this. You know, the Prudential Committee asked us to do this. I think the district asked us to look at that bylaw. Right, it came up last year. Right, you guys revise that bylaw. Maybe you need a stabilization fund.
So we're talking about two different things, I think. A stabilization fund for all sorts of needs of the department.
Yeah.
But Vic put together was specific to the watershed.
Right. And
so what are we talking about?
If you read the Division of Local Services, Mass Department of Revenue thing, they say they got what stabilization funds can be for, and basically they can be for anything. We could take income from the CVAC and the antenna revenue, and we could encumber that into a stabilization fund that would grow from year to year, and it could be used for anything to do with the water system, the watershed, waterworks, and treatment. I mean, we could start that fund.
Well, that makes more sense to me.
You know?
As much as I'm interested in the watershed, it's really
I agree, and I think that's what the district told us when they asked us to take a look at this, was your scope is too fine, and that was when we were just looking for capital expenses. We don't have a broad enough scope. You're too focused. If you're going to have a fund like this, it should be for things that come up that are unforeseen, and down the road, all of a sudden, something fails, and you have to spend $20,000. You don't have to go to a special district meeting.
You say the district asked the water commissioners to create a stabilization fund?
They didn't say that. They said, look at that existing bylaw because they didn't think it was sufficient.
They want to get rid of it.
They don't want
it. Prudential committee wants to get rid of
it. Right. Prudential and finance department would like to get rid of it because it's never been established. And if you want your money, you ask for it.
And
you get it.
In
never
some
been
way,
a problem.
They
You've always got your
day,
money,
every
so
year too.
You shouldn't have to worry about it. They want the one that's currently on the books off.
With the one on the books, what does it do? Does it win?
No, because it's never been implemented.
It's never been enforced. It's never
so
been
either
used.
Fund it or get rid of it. Is that what they're saying?
They said there's no money in it. They've never developed it. It's on the bylaws to have it, and it's never been done. They had a audit, and the auditors came out and pointed out, where is this money? They said, well, we spent it before. Where's the fund? We don't have it. Well, you should get rid of that then, they told me.
$600,000.
Right.
And I don't think they even called it a stabilization fund.
No.
Right?
Correct.
They called it a capital improvement fund. So
right.
It could only be used for capital expenses.
Correct.
And then when Vic did his research, he talked to Don Thayer over at Mashpee Finance. And she said, hey, we do this stuff all the time. I talked to Dave Jones over the bicycle water department. He's got like three or four of them that they use, but they've got that huge solar field on the
by the airport.
On the airport,
yeah.
That they get money. Yeah, so you have to have a source of revenue, but if you have a source of revenue, it just makes sense to have some sort of. It's just an insurance play to me. It makes sense to do, and I don't know if we can morph that existing bylaw into something like that, or if it's going to require.
So, doesn't the Prudential Committee want your CREC money?
Well, right now, they're getting it.
Right.
I'm sure they do. They want the antenna money.
So,
do they spend it all from year to year, or does it go into the general fund?
Yeah, it's considered revenue of our district right now, of our water department.
And the slush fund, does it carry over from year to year?
Yeah, no, it's the one. I don't know where it goes from. I give it to them, and they put it supposedly to offset our budget.
And other budgets. Yeah, and the other side, if we take away whatever our money is from the antenna revenue and the CVAC money, it doesn't go into the general fund. Then it has to be made up of by taxes year after year after year. So it's we have to figure out what we want to do, which hand we land in which pocket.
So the way it was described to me is that it was just new service connections, which was really a lot of money.
Yeah,
right. I understand the need for capital improvements, and stabilization is good because it helps with politics. You're asking for less money and to do a big improvement. That's all good. Do we want to fight for that simultaneously when we're fighting for labor? Is it that important now? Which is more important for the next 12 months?
I think they're both.
You think we can get both?
I don't know, but I think they're both important. I think the district and the residents should hear options. Because I don't know that many of them even know that you can do this.
I might be wrong here, but I've been coming to district meeting for 30-something years now. When I first started coming, they used to take 25, 50, $75,000 and at district meeting put it into a stabilization fund. There is one established out there, and it's for the district itself. It's not just for us or anything like that. I haven't heard that in a little while. I don't know if we still fund it and what's going on, but I don't know how much is in there to offset, but that's usually the financial department to do that. I don't. And now what we're doing kind of is saying, hey, we used to have this fund here that was supposed to be done that should have $164,000 in it that we've never come to and said, hey, let's offset by taking this $164,000 and doing this project. What we're talking about now is trying to establish something like that so we can. So if we do, when inevitably we do have to treat the water, filter it, however you want to say, instead of asking for $1 million, we have to ask for $750,000, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think contamination issues.
The change and the disappearance of that terminology may have come with the change of treasurers from, what's her name, Agnes to Mike.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's kind of where the transition went. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It's still there. I think it's still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this discussion goes hand in hand with our last discussion about the rates, because if you're going to earmark the CVEC dollars and the SNR dollars, that changes your non-rate revenue.
Right. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, too, there is some, at least there's something in there about what might have to be done in 5 years, starting to do for
future work that has to be done.
Survey?
Yeah.
Because if you went with a scenario like 4A, you've got 9, 14, 57, 2, $5,000. In excess, right? So,
yes, but they didn't consider additional.
So that doesn't consider the mailing. Okay.
Yeah, it's not. I'm sorry. Oh, they're talking $100,000 for a pilot study. Is all that's in here being put in down the line? Which
$100,000.
Yeah, to build something and run through and say, okay, this is what we use to filter out. It's the right system to put in for a filtration system. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, Chris and Jen. When you go through all the things that we now charge for, $15 an hour compared to something else, could that change that difference from one to the other, the amount of money that can be used for this kind of fund? It's not money that's already in the books right now. It's not money that's already being counted on. And it doesn't have nothing to do with what we've been, it's not even counted in this.
It would be a lot
but you can just, would there be enough to say be $10,000 a year of additional income? You know what I mean?
I don't think so. We can go back and look at that.
Yeah,
but I don't see it being any more than a couple $1,000s or
right.
The most. I don't think we're talking into the high thousands in any way, right. You know, double digits at all.
So there is a stabilization fund in the district. It's not something that the water department can access.
We're supposed to advise. We are supposed to advise if we have a project coming up within so many years, and we know it, we're supposed to tell them, hey, this is coming. Start putting money away in the stabilization fund because you're going to need it.
But that's different than insurance.
Correct.
If we have it.
When we were building Station 5, we came to them and said, or at least this is what I was told. They went in and said, listen, we're going to have to put a well in. We're going to have to run a water main down there. We're going to have to build a building. We want to do it over a five-year plan. I'm letting you know we want to start this in 5 years. Stop putting money away to try to deter what's going on. So they started picking up money in meetings, higher and higher to deter things down. That was the big plan. So we give them a five-year plan every year anyways, usually. So if we know something's coming, we usually give them a 5-year notice on it so they can start putting money away to deter things down.
Which they should be doing.
Right.
We should be doing that now. And that, I guess that's what I mean by it. I think we're irresponsible for not doing it because we're going to have to treat it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And those things are expensive. So that's the question I had was, is this a revision to that bylaw, or is this something separate, remove and replace? Because it seems it's bigger, and you need a two-thirds vote to do it.
Right.
If we're going to start taking money from some of our revenue sources, you've got to have a two-thirds vote of the district to set it up and say, this is what it's going to be used for. And it can be used for, like I just said, a broad array of things. In which case it made sense to me to do, because it's not just something like forest management or watershed management.
It could include, but
it could also include, like, hey, the pump just went out. Mm-hmm. It could also include the pumps are gone if something happens, right?
Okay, I have a possible funding source. What are you laughing at? No. That's all. Got all to do with this right here. Somewhere in here, someone talked about having a fee for every house that gets water. It has nothing to do with what the water they get.
The base fee.
Yeah, $20 a meter will give you $50,000 a year. We got 2,500 meters, right? All right. I was just doing my finance right here. 2,300 times $20 is $46,000. So if that is, if we start this whole thing with a $20 fee for just being a customer,
for renting the water.
They do that.
And so that they know that that's going into a stabilization fund.
That will be, now you have a funding source.
For issues that could happen with the water.
And it's just, it's a new one. It's not taken away from anything else. And when it gets can be used, then they're not being additionally taxed a certain way because we've built up a fund. Now you can say $10 and it'll be $23,000 a year. You know? You can't go for breakfast for $10 now. I know. I know.
So maybe that's what, maybe you could share that discussion with them.
Does that make sense, Chris?
Yeah.
Bylaws.
That's it.
Then why were you laughing at me?
Because you smiled. Usually that's scary.
Yeah. So basically, I'll get you something.
So
tomorrow, the next day.
To remove and replace the existing section of the bylaw that talks about
this
mysterious fund that's never been used properly.
And establish a
stabilization fund according to the Department of Revenue's definition.
In General Law 40, Section 5B.
Yeah, write that all down. That the purpose of the fund is to stabilize the finances for capital improvements, including but not limited to watershed management.
Maintain the health and integrity of the water system, including the watershed, waterworks, and any treatment systems that may be needed to address water quality problems that arise in the future.
And that we want to use studying the revenue sources, if they include things like cell power, CVAC, and like basic.
Yeah. A meter rental.
Who does all those
things? They
do. You own them or do I own them? I think
do.
Who owns a meter from my basement?
We do. You can't touch it. Yeah. You're not allowed to disconnect it. So.
So I'm renting it. I'm renting
it. Yeah, because you have the. Not that.
I'm renting it for free right now.
Right. Right.
You can come in and take it anytime. In fact, I'm going to be asking you to
replace it. Replace it with a piece of pipe.
You want me to say $10 to $20?
Huh?
You want to build in a $10 to $20 base fee for? Or service,
well,
I think
it's
one of the options.
If we use the cell tower money, then maybe it's $10 to $20 the same.
Yeah, whatever the revenue source is, you have to use it at least 25% of what they're bringing in.
He said it had to be at least, I thought he said $10,000 a year.
Yeah, but I didn't see that.
You didn't see it in there at all?
I saw it as 25%.
Okay.
It's 15,000 in cell power, you put 25% more of it.
Yeah, I think we ought to stick about a different use than trying to take what we already have going in, because we've done all this to already work this into.
Yeah, that's why I thought that the
so
fee.
So a new yeah. source of revenue. Yeah. We'll call it the Campbell Rental Act.
Can you read my mind now?
Base fees
oh
my to raise
business.
10 to $20.
Raise everybody. Let's raise money. Everybody. I'm here as his spokesman. He wasn't able to be with us.
Or I'm not going to be at any other meetings either.
$10 to $20 per meter, and we could include. We could ask Hayden and Howard to put that in.
So if you
for a stable
in,
organization. Say to them, you know, we're going to add to this fee.
So you would want them to include it in your comparison of what the current bill is for the fee, but not included in their total.
Their bottom line.
Okay.
Because we have a different bottom line, so that's a Campbell fund.
Mm-hmm. That'd be more bookkeeping for you, too, wouldn't it? You'd have to put that into a different account. No?
I think the treasurer would have to do
that.
It would be built once a year. It would probably be built once a year, original bill.
It would be
I don't know, when's your birthday?
What?
When's your birthday? We could use that as a date.
You
can
build it on your
birthday. I thought that was a really good idea. I'm really
But you really
happy.
You're happy, I'm happy.
I'm happy about
that. That's what my mother used to say. If you're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, I used to.
I'm happy to bring this. Just write me a paragraph.
I will, and bounce it off of them, and then I can go talk to the Prudential Committee about it.
Okay.
And then it addresses
what
that
bylaw. It's great, and it's a nice subset of what we're talking about, but it's not, should not be this much. I think that, you know, if you're going to go to the effort of making this fund, it should be. Its purpose is to be a little bit more discretionary, no matter what.
Okay.
Because there isn't some proof that we can do like that.
So that was the bylaw subcommittee meeting. Policy advisory meeting? Okay.
Not till after the first year when they have their first real meeting when people show up.
Any new business?
Yes, I do have a couple things.
First thing, I have a letter here I need you to sign.
Okay.
Just so everybody knows, we are... The Water Management Act.
Yes.
We did our public notification. We did not receive anybody calling to ask about it, really. So...
One guy called.
I got a call.
Yeah, but you got a call asking why they got the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure it wasn't something that they were afraid it was going to be.
Correct.
I got a call.
It wasn't...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't take the call. And then I called him in the afternoon. He says, oh, I already talked to a guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't get a call against it. We got a call for verification why we did it, so it's okay. I just need you to sign this saying you didn't get any opposition to it that's going to be sent back to DP that just says we did our 30 days. Where do we go from here? They can release if they got something on it. I have to send one in also.
It's contingent upon not receiving any...
Correct. This actually won't be sent in until... The 19th.
This just saves you from coming in the office.
This just saves you from... We will rip it up if we get a phone call within the next few days. But because it's the holiday season and all, we thought we could get your signature on it now, and we will use our... Yeah.
With this time change, the late...
The last thing was just that Carol Wilkes...
It feels like it's past my bedtime.
Stuff here. The leak adjustment.
Yeah.
She never showed up, but we can still look at it.
So we had a leak...
Yes, we did.
At the Wilkes... property. And she's looking for some relief for her bill, her overbill, for sure. And Jen, you did the math on this?
Yeah, the reason that she has a garage for the guest house that they rented on it, they have to grab the meter on it, and so left a key out there.
We have no electricity every winter for several days. The new normal, they should be using electricity to keep it going.
So
if
they did winterize it this year, they have to maintain
it and all
that.
Perhaps a little
better. And what's the percentage again? What we subtract what?
So
she's looking for $900 and we do what to it?
She's responsible for double her normal usage. Yeah. So that her normal usage, her highest usage, is 50,000 gallons. So she would pay us about 100,000 gallons at regular rate, and then there would be an additional amount of 275.81.
Yeah. So she, instead of being billed 900, she gets the 275. And this is similar to what we did at the last meeting.
Correct.
Somebody had.
Yep. It's a one-time thing.
Yeah, this has to be a one thing because they can't do it every year.
Right. The only thing I would just suggest, there's nothing on here that she just give us. We usually do is say, hey, as long as it was an insurance claim put in that would pay for the water.
Yeah.
If she gives us proof from the insurance company that she didn't receive any payment for water usage, I just want to make sure that.
How do we usually do that? Just ask her, have her insurance company send a letter saying they haven't been, no claim has been.
Yeah, usually just something that says, you know, that from her insurance company that would say, you know, if she did put a claim in, she might not have put a claim in at all. Just saying that there was no claim put in.
Anything else?
I have nothing else under new business.
We need a date for our next.
Make a motion to approve the rate adjustment for the water leak at Carol Wilkes on Ocean View Ave.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next meeting?
I'm not coming back.
We're still going to name somebody. Let your wife.
When we turn these things off, I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
So the third Wednesday is the 19th.
That's my birthday.
We'll bring you a cake.
Can we call it something? Oh, no, I can't. I went to concert that night, too, for the kids. That's supposed to be my birthday present. I get to go watch them sing at the Boston High School.
Well, we're early
but Jen will
on
come
the 14th.
Jen could be here.
We could do the 12th.
Tuesday the 18th?
Do we know if the hall's used on Tuesday?
We can find out.
They're used. Oh, I think the fire department has. I don't know if they're here. They have in the past had their meetings on Tuesday.
All right. Why don't we let's do this? Why don't we, as a first choice, we would go for the 18th. If that's not available, we would go for the 12th. Does that make sense?
Sure. You guys don't need me here. I can, if you want, I can make. I could ask Miss Nash, Mrs. Nash.
I'm looking for someone.
Okay.
Not handicapped, really. I'd have to have two guys there to pick people up and down. We've never had it. I know that the other things meet there.
I have met there with, like, for a policy advisor.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still might be able to come. You know, it depends. If I'd have to talk to the kids and all. See, I know I missed it last year because of it. Yeah.
I remember. You got screwed up.
Yeah, to try to make it, yeah.
Let's do it on the 19th.
Okay.
And we'll have Ms. Nash help us with the superintendent's report and guide us through the stuff, and then you go to your...
Yeah.
Is that all right? 5:30?
Yeah. Don't worry, we had fun talking about you.
No. You're pretty close. Pretty close, but you did miss the public comment.
If you want to make it 6:00, then we'd be here until about 5:45.
We don't want to confuse people too much, because when it went to 5:30, it threw someone right over the edge.
Get a motion.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Turn these things off, but I'm going to tell you something.